Hello, everybody. Hope your Christmas, your holiday, whatever you celebrate, has been a good one. This is just a quick video, something I felt compelled to point out. Just, it bothered me, and I couldn't help it. Because it feels like ever since 2020, people have been primed to believe that the apocalypse is nigh. And it doesn't matter if that fits into your religious worldview, your geopolitical worldview. It doesn't matter what side of the political carpet you sit on. Every time an election has happened in this century, people have said it will be canceled for one reason or another. I've heard that the whole time. But even I admit, I've never heard more people saying that than about this next election coming up next year.
I'm worried about the next year. I really am. And I think I have cause to worry about it. It feels like, and I hope I'm wrong. I've certainly been wrong a lot. I don't lie if I can help it. But I have been wrong. And I hope I am once again wrong when I predict that this will be a very different country in December of 2024.
Well, mine's a little dark. I just feel a lot of concern that 2024 may be the year of a black swan event. This is a national security event with high impact that's very hard to predict.
Citizens of America, the so-called Western forces of Texas and California have suffered a very great defeat at the hands of the United States military.
But there's a key difference. We've never lived in a time where this many millions of people are on social media networks this often. Smartphones in hand, sharing their thoughts and feelings, their anger, their fears. And we are so externalized and interconnected at this point that it's like throwing a rock in a pond. Those fears ripple out. One person's fear now can potentially infect millions. That's how interconnected we've become at a time when they've primed everyone to be ready and accepting of some kind of societal collapse, whatever flavor you believe.
The purpose of this message is for prevention and not because of a known threat.
Oh no, it's blown, the cloud is in the sky. Don't run, no fun, you've got to get inside. You don't need to be scared, you don't need to be loud, cause you can survive even a mushroom cloud.
And in the past few weeks especially, and I don't know if this is just my timeline or what, because obviously I could be in an echo chamber, we all could be. I have no idea if what I'm seeing when I go on X is anything like what any of you are seeing. But all over the place, I've been seeing people talking about how Mark Zuckerberg is building a massive 5,000 square foot doomsday bunker on his $270 million Maui compound. And I first saw it on X being talked about quite heavily, and then I saw it all over the media. They're calling it a secret bunker. It's a secret bunker he's building, although it's obviously not that great of a secret if it's literally plastered all over the mainstream international headlines. Not really that much of a secret, is it?
That's classified.
Till now.
I think what finally spurred me to make this video was that I came on there today and I saw Matt Wallace sharing this particular post. Let's have a dramatic read, shall we? 2008, Mark Zuckerberg becomes a billionaire. 2009, Mark Zuckerberg doesn't build a bunker. 2010, Mark Zuckerberg doesn't build a bunker. 2011, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to read all of this in that ridiculous voice, but you get down to 2023 and Mark Zuckerberg decides to build a massive, all capital letters, survival bunker, along with many other, quote, elites. Be prepared for 2024, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. You need to have at least enough stock to last through the initial wave until the after society forms. And then this picture of Mark Zuckerberg, which looks like bad AI, that's really super creepy. Followed up promptly by this post about how he's got this quality prepper food, and here's his link that he obviously makes a cut on. So I'd just like to point out that not even a week before the Zuckerberg secret bunker news hit X and then the mainstream media, Netflix released a film called Leave the World Behind, which was co-produced by the Obamas, which President Obama himself gave director's notes on. Okay? So this is a movie written and directed by Sam Esmail. He's the creator of Mr. Robot, which I thought was a pretty good show for what it was. But this is an adaptation from a 2020 novel of the same name. And people were saying, you got to see this Obama film, blah, blah, blah. So we just watched this film. And while I can appreciate it from a technical standpoint, it did have some interesting shots and things being done with edits. The actual story and the acting are pretty ridiculous, I feel like. The racial tension was just not very believable. And neither were the characters. You have Julia Roberts playing a total Karen, turned all the way up to 11. Her husband, played by Ethan Hawke, is a cartoonishly emasculated man who seems to be more afraid of literally everything than his own 13-year-old daughter. Even Kevin Bacon, they had Kevin Bacon do the prepper guy. Super cliche. All of these people were cliches. And it made the whole thing just overall kind of cringe to watch. But the ultimate plot, and this is a spoiler, so if you're planning to watch this film, spoiler alert, the overall plot has to do with a cyber attack on U.S. soil that takes down the internet, and they make it seem like there's a faction within the government that's plotted a coup d'etat, and because we're such a low-trust society at this point, they're just turning off the internet and confusing everyone so that we all get freaked out and turn against each other and let the country fall from within. You don't have to have anyone invade the country. If we can all just turn against each other amongst ourselves and fight amongst ourselves, we can just destroy our own country from within.
Think of the weapon systems vulnerable to extremists in their own military without a clear enemy or motive. People will start turning on each other.
Which is interesting, considering that I don't think we had the levels of racial and identity tension and fighting amongst ourselves that we had until after the Occupy Wall Street movement got co-opted, which was during Obama's presidency. That movement was people of all colors and stripes coming together against getting screwed over by oligarchical collectivism, basically.
They corralled the bull, and that's pretty much a huge symbolic statement.
And it didn't matter. There was people of all different levels of society, the 99%, getting pissed at the 1%. I don't think the system likes that, right? After that, the thing was co-opted and the nation's entire focus has been fed into fighting with each other over identity politics on whatever level they can get us to do it. This system doesn't give a crap about anyone's identity politics, just by the way, but so long as it keeps us fighting amongst ourselves and not all banding together in a unified group, the masses against like the elite. That's can't have that, okay? But we can have identity politic fights all day, so let's just have that. Anyway, the point is this movie ends with a bunker. The whole point of it seems to be like, well, this is going to happen one way or the other. There's no real saving it, so just find a bunker. So this movie gets released on Netflix December 8th, and within less than a week, you have Mark Zuckerberg's secret bunker story blowing up everywhere.
That's what happens when worlds collide.
And you can see this in Google Trends, too. So if you go to Google Trends and you type in Zuckerberg bunker for the last 30 days, there's like a few little blips here and there, but it shoots way up December 14th. So 6 days after this movie comes out, bam, you have it going to 100. Everyone's talking about Zuckerberg's bunker, right? If you look at this for the past 5 years, you could see what happened. There's no talk of this hardly at all going on at all for 5 years. No one's talking about this. And then all of a sudden this movie comes out and bam, Mark Zuckerberg's bunker shoots to 100. I mean, that's what's going on with the data. And the Obama-produced apocalypse movie featuring bunkers shoots to number one on Netflix. And if you don't recall, Zuckerberg and Facebook and Obama, they've all been pretty cozy for years and years now. Silicon Valley spent a lot of money on Obama's reelection campaign. Here's an article from 2012, Obama, Facebook, and the Power of Friendship. How a unified computer database that gathers and refines information on millions of potential voters is at the forefront of campaign technology and could be the key to an Obama win. You also have headlines about how the Zuckerbergs funneled $419 million into nonprofit local election administration boards to help turn out Democratic voters in the last election. Even going back to 2007, one of the four founders at Facebook left the company to go work on then-Senator Obama's first campaign, like right at the beginning. I don't know if you can call these kind of people friends, but they definitely don't mind each other's company. And I could pull up pictures of them hanging out with each other all day and never run out. So the film Leave the World Behind doesn't really seem to have a point, like I said, at the end of it, unless that point is you better have a bunker because the S is going to hit the F. And so it's very interesting timing that the movie comes out on Netflix and within a week, news of Zuckerberg's, quote, secret bunker becomes not so secret. And please realize that if a billionaire wanted to build a secret bunker, like a truly secret bunker that no one would ever know about, there are so many ways he could do that and the public would never know and the media would never know. It wouldn't be front page news all over the world the week after his pal Obama's film comes out featuring societal collapse and elite bunkers as the main plot. And really, would Maui even be a smart option for a doomsday bunker? I follow a guy who does space weather reports, and he was saying that Maui is literally the worst choice for a doomsday bunker that you could pick.
If you have been around a while here, you know Hawaii may be one of the worst possible choices. Not only do we expect pretty much all the volcanoes to go nuts on the Hawaiian Islands, but the tsunamis are going to pound the area pretty badly. So, what is he thinking? Folks, none of the names or organizations you see here represent the top of the power food chain in the world. None of the names we get to hear about sit there. The real powerful people go silently, under the radar, and without press or spotlight.
And we've always said be prepared on this channel. I mean, of course. But going back to the post-World War II era, the focus was always on public panic.
Picks a publisher who writes an editorial calling Americans treasonous for planning to evacuate their city during a nuclear attack. He says the enemy will have no trouble winning the next war. Too many Americans will desert their cities at the first sign of danger. This is treason.
Dear editor, your call for civil defense volunteers was nonsense. If this city is attacked, my plans are made, and they don't include waiting around to get killed. I'm going to take my family to a place in the country where we'll be safe. I think I'm as patriotic as the next guy, but I'd be pretty dumb to remain in this city when those bombs start falling. We must make them realize there must be no taking to the hills. It's pushing them into something pretty close to treason.
And deterring the public from panicking if the S does hit the F, because that panic is what causes a country to destroy itself, just like in the film.
Without a clear enemy or motive, people would start turning on each other.
They don't need enemy invaders from another country or whatever if they get us to do it to each other and ourselves.
And we're so divided in this country in ways that we haven't seen before. And I think that just creates fertile ground for our adversaries like North Korea, China, and Iran.
There's the Koreans, the Chinese one.
I'm thinking
Iranians. This film isn't some kind of mastermind symbolic revelation of the method or anything. It's just blatant, over the top, not even that great of a movie, which got lukewarm reviews. But like I said, people have been primed to accept not just bad things happening, but nightmare scenarios at this point.
Coup d'etat, civil war, collapse.
And that's what concerns me most.
To the point that a lot of people are expecting them and actually just waiting for them now. And we just got done going through 11 states in a car to grab the last footage we need for the film that we've been working on for 5 years now. And I've actually heard people in public now talking about this. This is a topic of conversation. So this isn't just a perception of what people are talking about online on social media networks. It's also happening offline, because I've heard random people in public, like at the grocery store, talking about how everything's going to hell, society's collapsing, it's all about to go down, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So people believe this. And I've seen a lot of the same people who were talking down on those who were scared during the pandemic act just as scared, if not more so, over this Zuckerberg bunker story. I've read responses that are just as over the top. They don't realize they're acting in the exact same way they just got done criticizing other people for acting a few years ago. Regardless, getting people into a mindset of constant fear bypasses the rational, logical parts of the brain.
One of the best ways to drain people's energy nowadays is via the internet. This woman is an astrophysicist. Actually, this is not how space works.
And it makes people a lot easier to manipulate. And especially right before what Kamala Harris has referred to as, quote, the most election of our lifetime.
You know, every election cycle we talk about, this is the most election of our lifetime. Lawrence, this one is.
People do not realize that never before in modern human history that we know about anyway, has it been easier to manipulate and stoke fear in the masses and then use that fear to sell realities back to the people. Never before has that been the case as it is now with this technology. It is that powerful, and people don't realize it. They take it for granted.
Bad actors can now manipulate large swaths of people to do anything you want.
And so you get everybody to energetically buy in, or at least a large majority of people to energetically buy in to some horrible nightmare future, whatever that is, and they're much more willing to accept whatever comes down, especially if it doesn't go all the way to the point of whatever the nightmare is that's been presented. Well, at least it's not that bad, right? But never before have we been to a point where they can do this to people so easily. Gaslighting and reverse psychology is running the day. They don't have to put you literally in a box if they can just get you to trap yourself in a mental one. This is 2023, guys. We are living in a half-digital environment that has literally been programmed to work off of people's negative emotions, and especially fear.
The algorithms that are following you respond very quickly. They're looking for the quick responses. And the negative responses, like getting startled or scared or irritated or angry, tend to rise faster than the positive responses, like building trust or feeling good. Those things rise more slowly. So the algorithms naturally catch the negativity and amplify it and introduce negative people to each other and all of this.
Are you trying to get our attention? I don't know. But he just got mine.
So it's like a giant haunted house. And I think people keep forgetting they're walking through that haunted house. When you see something smeared all over the media and all over your social media feeds, at this point, it's usually social media before the mainstream media at this point. But when you see that everywhere, just try to keep it in mind that you are walking through a digital haunted house. You can scream at the fake ghosts if you want to, because that's fun sometimes, but maybe don't let them actually trick you to the point where you start believing they're real. Anyway, I love you guys. Talk to you soon.
You got to decide how much you're willing to give up, how much of your intellectual independence. And don't think, oh yeah, not me, I'm a f***ing genius, I'm at Stanford. You're probably the most likely to f***ing fall for it.
I would like to solve the puzzle.